of your door. See, there is somebody that can never get out of your knocking. Anytime God
exposes himself, you are, talk to the Lord right now.
And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed.
Like I said, the teaching series for June 2026 has been titled On Fire. And on Sunday, we looked at the subject First Love, but we began from the emphasis of assurance of salvation. Are you with me? And the reason we took that journey from assurance of salvation into first love is because you cannot talk about returning to your first love to a person who has no idea of what first love is. Are you with me? You can't talk about returning to your first love to someone who has no clue or no idea of what first love in Christ means and how it comes and what it represents. Are you with me? So it's only those that understand love towards God that comes when a man is saved that can really understand the instruction to go back to their first love. And so we will continue from there tonight. Are you with me? Revelation chapter 2 from verse 1. Revelation 2 from verse 1. And unto the angel of the church of Ephesus writes, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Verse 2, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. Verse 3, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember wherefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. One of the first things that struck me when I read this text, or when the Holy Spirit began to lead me towards this emphasis, was why was Jesus talking to a church with such strong use of words? It was a church he was talking to here, and you are saying, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent. You would think repentance is just for the sinner outside, the one who is struggling with all kinds of debauchery and all of that. But he's talking to a church. Are you following me? He says, repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now, some people have used this text to say losing salvation. That's not what he's talking about. For you to understand what he's talking about in verse 5, when he says, I will remove thy candlestick, you need to read chapter 1. Because this is chapter 2, right? Please, are you with me? Can I tell you something? If the church loses its love, delight, honor, and passion for the Bible, we are doomed. We are doomed. Because the Bible is our fulcrum. The Bible gives us direction. The Bible helps us know where we are and where we ought to be. See, can I be honest with you? When I was reading this book of Revelation, I feel like reading from chapter 1, verse 1. Are you with me? Because reading the book of Revelation has a way. It makes you see that You are not alone here. You see, this thing we are doing, this church we are doing, and all of what we do, Jesus is really and actively involved in everything going on. Are you with me? He knows you. Destiny, he knows you. Jesus knows you. He's interested in you. He's so interested in you. Much more than you know. You know what? Let me try. Revelation chapter 1. Now, let me give you the context. It is 95 AD. John is the last surviving apostle of the Lord Jesus. Every other apostle at this time had been killed. And he has been arrested because he preached Jesus for the testimony of Jesus and was banished to the island of Patmos. He was banished because they had tried to kill him many times, but he couldn't die. They had put him into boiling oil and they couldn't get him to die. So they called him John the Divine and banished him to the island of Patmos. As it were, it seemed like God kept him to be the last surviving apostle to receive the last inspiration of scripture that will serve as a guide to the church as the age comes to a close. I want to ask you one question before I go on. Can you permit me to teach you at the level, apostolic level? Should I? Okay. So it's 95 AD and John has been arrested this way. And now, while he was arrested and sentenced to this island of Patmos, he begins to receive divine revelations. Revelations of Jesus. Are you with me? You know, when John was alive, if you study the book of John, the last chapter in the book of John, John chapter 21, there was a time when there was a discussion between Peter, John, and Jesus. And then Jesus was talking to Peter and he said unto Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my lambs. If you love me, feed my sheep. And then as Jesus was talking with Peter, it seemed as though Peter now said, if you are telling me to feed your sheep, what shall this one do? Then Jesus now said, if I say that this one shall tarry till I come back, what is that to thee? And so there was a rumor already among the early disciples that John will not die. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Let me come back. There was a rumor that John will not die. But when John penned down the book of John, because it's the same writer of this book of John that wrote Revelation. When John penned it down, he said, he does not agree with that rumor. But all that was said was, what if I say he will tarry? Okay, look at verse 23. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? So, it seems as though John was actually the one Jesus ensured that we tarry till he came back and gave this revelation. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
So he kept John. Tarry, you will not die. Because I will come back and see something. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
I will come back. Do you know I'm saying this? To make you know that the book of Revelation was not just careless revelation. Because people argue to today. Some people still argue that the book of Revelation is not a trusted book. In fact, that was why Martin Luther at the Reformation ensured that that would be the last book. You know, John Calvin, the great theologian and reformer, even though we don't agree with everything he taught, he said he can comment on every part of the Bible, but when he got to Revelation, he said, I have no comment. I have no comment because the things he said that were said in the book of Revelation, see, I believe If you want to understand full Bible doctrine, anything that is a Christian doctrine will have its base in the book of Genesis and will have its conclusion in the book of Revelation. Okay, let's go back. Revelation chapter 1 from verse 1. Praise the Lord. Very soon in this city, when we are having Bible study, if you come late, you will sit in the tent overflow. Amen. I thought you would say amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, of all things that he saw. Verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you. So all these churches was writing to are in Asia. Or where in Asia? Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Glory! Can you imagine the church gathered in those small catacombs, those places, in those persecuted times, and they said this is the letter from John, and they are reading these things to them. I believe some of them would have read it and cried. Because up until this time, they had killed all the apostles. And they may have felt alone and left out. But then a letter comes from John. Jesus is telling them, I see you are in Asia. I have loved you and I've washed you with my blood. Are you with me? Yes, unto him who loved us and washed from our sins with his own blood. Jump to verse 8. Okay, wait, don't rush. Verse 6, please. And hath made us kings and priests unto God. Hey. See after me, he has made me kings and priests. He has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Verse 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Before I start crying, jump, I beg. Verse 17. And when I saw him, I'm jumping at those other things, I'm jumping. Verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. Do you realize he has said that I am the first and the last almost 5-6 times? Do you know what this means? He can never be taken unawares. He can never be brought to a point where, what are we going to do? I am the first and the last. Meaning, when you go to the ending, you will find me there.
When you go back to the beginning, it's still me you will see there.
So if you are confused about what will happen in the middle, just remember, at the end, he's still waiting for me. Are you with me? See, let me tell you something. Even if you don't know anything in your walk with God, know one thing. If I hold on to God, my future is solid, it is sure, it is secured, it is settled, it will be glorious, it will be beautiful. Are you with me? I know you have questions, so I know you are going through tough times. I know you are wondering, God, what is my life going to be? How will the next 3 years look? How will the next 5 years look? How will the next 7 years look? Lord, what am I going to even do with my life? Don't worry. He is the first and the last. Are you with me? He says, I am the first. And guess what? He kept telling John this thing, I am the first and the last. See, when I think about Nigeria, I remember he's the first and he's the last. Eventually, he will have the final say.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Over your future, over your life, he will have the final say. Not the devil. Oh, not demons, not the powers of darkness. The only problem is, will you hold on to him? Yeah. Will you hold on to him who is the first and the last? Praise the Lord. As a young pastor, young preacher, there are many things that could have discouraged me, many things that could have distracted me, many things that would have weighed me down. But I remember, he's the first. He's the last. Glory to God. Verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Verse 20 now, everybody read with me verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So, the stars are the angels of the churches, and the candlesticks are the churches. Are you with me? And then, it is on this premise, he tells the church in Ephesus, you have left your first love. In chapter 2, verse 1, and that says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write. The angel there is not just talking about angel in terms of the divine being. The word angel is ontological, meaning it can be used for a person. Just means messenger, angelus. In fact, theologians say the angel in this case represents pastors. Are you with me? So the pastor of the church in Ephesus writes, you know something that happened on Sunday, eh? That got me. See, Jesus knows what he's doing. Oh. I scrolled online and I saw another church. Their Sunday service was God, your first love. I was surprised. Like Sunday, that just passed. I said, God is trying to say something. When I saw it, I laughed. I said, hey, it looks like to the angel of the church in Nigeria. Are you with me? You have left your first love. Now look at verse 2. When it says, I know thy works. Meaning, he knows you. One of the things that makes Christianity different from every other kingdom, or the kingdom of God different from every other kingdom, is that in Nigeria, or in the kingdom of Nigeria, the king, President Bola Ahmed Tinubu, we all know him, but he doesn't know all of us. Are you with me? And that's not just because it's Nigeria. In every other country, everybody knows their king. But the king does not have a personal relationship with everyone. But in the Christian faith, our king is called the door. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Then it says in John chapter 10, I am the door. If any man come in, so meaning you cannot come into his kingdom without a personal relationship with him who is the door.
Yes, sir.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
The king knows everybody One by one, he says, I know thy works. I know thy works. See, God knows your works. No matter what we pull as stunts on stage, no matter what we do, and people clap for us, no matter the platforms we take up, Jesus knows your works. No matter your Instagram following, no matter who knows you on the earth, Jesus knows you. Are you with me? You know, then he says, I know thy works and thy patience and doubt, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and has tried them which say the apostles and are not, and has found them liars. So he's saying, these people I'm talking to, they know how to call false preachers. They know how to call out false preachers. They know how to correct other people. They know how to... Does that not look like what is happening in Nigeria? Go online. People know how to drag pastors. You know how to say that one is false. You know how to say that one is wrong. I know that works. And he applauded them for it. Wow, that's good. I like the fact that you know false doctrine and you can call out false doctrine. You have checked this man of God and you know that these ones are liars. He says, I also know your activeness in the things of God. And for my name's sake, thou hast labored and hast not fainted. Verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. How is it possible that somebody who is laboring and enduring things for the name of Christ will leave the first love? Because it is possible to fall in love with the work of the Lord and forget the Lord of the work. It is possible. You know, one of our sisters wrote an article that touched me. She said, platforms, the desire of many, the demise of the unprepared. It touched me. Then she went further to say, we are living in a day of superstar Christianity. Let me give you a good example. So now, every Christian, I don't want to say every Christian, but many Christian worship leaders want to sing and their songs will go viral. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that we should expect that. We should pray for that, right? But there's a thin line between wanting to go viral to the point where you are more concerned about what people are saying than what God is saying. If you're not careful, you will be intentionally trying to do things that will get the hype of the people, even at the expense of God. And you know the anointing, sometimes it can work. For the fact it works does not mean God is in it. That's the tricky part of this thing. Moses, God told him, speak to the rock, but Moses struck the rock. Water still came out. The people still celebrated Moses. And if not that the Bible recorded that God was unhappy with Moses, we will never know. Like we are doing pastor's training now. One of the things I'm going to tell them later in the training is the spirituality of your work. For the fact you laid, for the fact God moved, does not mean God was happy. For the fact people fell under the anointing and there were healings, does not mean God was happy with the service. If God wanted a teaching service and you made it a worship and power meeting and there was still a move of God, does not mean God is exactly happy. Because nobody, apart from the fact that it was recorded, no Israelites knew why Moses died. No Israelite knew why Moses did not enter the promised land. It was Moses and Aaron that only that knew. It was Moses and Aaron that God said, don't worry, come before me. Since you refuse to sanctify me before the people, Moses, you will see the promised land, you will not enter. It was because of that thing. Moses brought it up again. Later in the book of Numbers, the Lord said, you will not raise up this matter again. See here. Being a pastor, being God's servant, it's a huge responsibility. Are you following me? possible to get carried away. It is possible to get distracted. It says, repent from whence thou art fallen. You have left your first love. It is possible. Are you following me? It is possible to get to a point where you can even be praying in tongues, but you are still doing strange things and your conscience is not feeling it. Are you following me? It is possible for a Christian to allow himself be carried away. You are living in perpetual sin. The things before that breaks you no longer breaks you. Get to the point of familiarity, spiritual dullness. But outwardly, people are still clapping for you. The first love is dying. You know, I've said many times on many platforms, before one public fall, there is at least 50 personal private falls. And then Jesus says, repent in verse 5 and do the first works. You see, for the Christian, repentance is our thing. Do you realize, if you study the Bible closely, repentance is not a message for the world, though. Repentance is not a message for the unbeliever. What God tells the believer is, repent, that meaning change your state of mind and believe the gospel. But for the man who is saved, you can actually change your deeds because you now have the life of God in you. You have the ability to say, I will not do this thing again. Are you with me? Because there is a new nature you have received in Christ. Please, are you with me? Please, are you with me? Please, are you with me? He says, repent and do the first works. Now, when he says do the first works, he's trying to tell you that the proof that you have come back to your first love is that you have gone back to your first works. See, simple things like, do you read your Bible? That's simple. Do you read your Bible? Do you pray? Do you evangelize? I know somebody's wondering, but Pastor, today's service is love like fire. Don't worry, I will get there. Because what I'm going to show you now is your spiritual fire is a simple way to know where your love is by the fire. Oh, by the fire, you can know where the love is. By the intensity of passion within you, you can know where your love is. Praise the Lord. And now, when it says to the church in Ephesus, go to your first love, go and do the first works, in verse 5, Revelation 2, verse 5, repent and do the first works. You need to understand that this church in Ephesus, if you have to go back to Acts chapter 19 from verse 1 to verse 11. It was this church that Paul came to and said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we have not so much as heard whether they mean the Holy Ghost. Then he said, unto what were you baptized them? And he said, unto John's baptism. And he laid hands on them and they spoke in tongues. And after they spoke in tongues, he gathered like 12 men and began to teach them the word of God in one school of Tyrannus. Because he went out for 3 months he was preaching and people did not respond. So he went back and began to teach the word of God, began to teach the word of God to these 12 men in a school of Tyrannus. And the Bible says, after the space of 2 years, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Are you with me? I've summarized the whole thing for you, just to avoid reading everything. And then, I think in verse 21 thereabout, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. This was a church that, okay, verse 11, God now began to do special miracles. Things began to happen. The move of the Spirit, that church that was a dormant church spiritually, by the coming in of Paul, and they began to have meetings every day. Prayer meetings, teaching meetings every day for about 2 years. It got to a point where they moved from just a average, mediocre spiritual church to a vibrantly spiritual church. A church that was now marked by revival. Are you with me? And now, when you study the book of Revelation, Theologians say, as at the time when that letter was being written in Revelation chapter 2, when Jesus was saying, you have left your first love, this church was about 40 years old. So it seemed as though they had grown so big, they had matured, but now the original fire that ignited the revival that made the church to break out was lost. Are you following this? The original fire was gone. And he says, go back to your first love. And so, do you realize that Jesus said, if they don't repent, I will come and remove your candlestick. Remember what we said the candlestick was, right? What was the candlestick? Please don't lose. Please, if you are confused, come back in Jesus' name. What was the candlestick? The church. He says, if you don't repent and go back to your first love, I will take away the candlestick. I want to ask you, what do candlesticks carry? Fire, right? So, the candlestick carries fire. And it is that fire on the candlesticks that brings light to wherever it is, right? So, in the same way, when a church is planted, the church is supposed to carry the fire of love towards God and a burning passion for God that is eventually now becomes the fuel to bring the illumination of Christ to that environment. Are you getting me? So what we call the church eventually is a gathering of people who are on fire for God, who are burning for the Lord, and by that burning, they begin to bring the illumination or the light of Christ to that environment. Are you getting me? Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So, whenever a church gets to the point where they are no longer burning, it is proof that their love is dying. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
As it is true for the church corporately, it is true for the believer individually. Whenever you get to the point when you are no longer burning, when that intensity of your walk with God is no longer there, it is a pointer to the fact that your love is caving in. Am I talking to you? Some of you, if you are observant, you are seeing the progression of revelation from firm foundations in May. Are you following me? You are seeing the journey, what we are doing. To assurance of salvation, to first love, now to fire. You are seeing how everything is connected. Let me show you from the Bible. Matthew 24. Because you see, when a man loves God, it is like fire. And even if you don't agree with what I'm saying, anybody who has been in any kind of love relationship can relate to what I want to say. When a boy meets a girl and they begin to talk, there is, even if you like the girl or even if the girl likes you, there is just a level of we just know ourselves and you talk. But as you begin to talk and begin to spend time with the person, you can see some traits in the person that you're like, the love you had will begin to die. Who knows what I'm talking about? You can just see some kind of attitude like, now wow. As how now? What thing be this? All of a sudden, the original interest and desire begins to die down, right?
Yes,
but there are other cases where, as you begin to talk, it's like the love begins to increase. The passion begins to increase. What is happening is that because love is growing, fire is growing. After a while, somebody will start saying, if I don't see you, I will die. How has he been living since? If I don't see you, you take my breath. How has he been surviving since? What has happened is that the love and the passion he's having for this other person or she's having for the other person is beginning to grow. And because it's beginning to grow, it's beginning to, as it were, burn. Are you following me? And if they don't get married in due time, they can burn and do what is not right. That thing is called, is the result of love that is growing into fire. People are laughing. But do you get what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. In the same way, if your relationship with God is growing, it will be growing into fire. It will be maturing into fire. Are you following me? It will be rising into fire. You will see Matthew 24. Jesus will say something like this. He says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That means love can be hot. Are you with me? Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Do you know? Bible is interesting. You see this Bible? Never get to the point where you feel like you have read it and you know everything in it. Do you realize they did not say, because many shall continue to sin, their love will wax cold? Instead, it says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He's trying to say, even if you are not the one committing the iniquity, if you stay around an environment that is saturated with iniquity, after a while, oh, your own love, what you call passion, will begin to die down. If you are in a place that lukewarmness is normal, normal Christianity will be called extremism. When you are in an environment that lukewarmness is normal, being normal will look like you are doing too much. For instance, like now, we are announcing a 12-hour prayer. In our generation, it looks like you guys are really praying. You are praying for 12 hours. Why don't you check the Bible? Just check the Bible. You will be amazed. If you really look at it carefully, the way Jesus prayed, the way the apostles prayed, you know, hey, when the Bible says, and Jesus went to the other side to pray, and at the fourth watch of the night, they saw him walking on the sea. What does that mean? A watch in the Jewish calendar is 3 hours. When he says, on the fourth watch of the night, he prayed for 12 hours. If you look at the meetings Jesus had, sometimes when I read the meetings Jesus had, and I understand why our generation, we will have to work far harder to produce. Do you know what it means? Jesus will take a crowd of 5,000 men to the wilderness, and you are teaching them for 3 days. And you need not give them food. They were fasting. Read it. Check the Gospels. He said they were fasting for 3 days fasting, and you didn't hear word. And now, when he says 3 days, it is not the way we calculate 3 days. Because for us, when we say our church is having a 3-day program, do you know what we are saying? You come today evening. That's day one. Then, if the church is very, maybe, they will not come tomorrow morning. Then, they will not have break. The morning session, evening session. That is day two. These 3 days is morning till night. Day one, day two, morning till night, day two. Then, read it. It was in the morning of the next day. He was saying they should not go to send them home. They have not eaten. 3 days full, 72 hours camp meeting. And he was just talking. So, it's either two things. It's either the kingdom of God is more serious, or the thing Jesus presents to us is more serious than we have ever taken note of, or we are just playing. Because in our day, just try it that we started a program on Friday morning, the morning tonight day one, Saturday morning tonight day two, Sunday morning tonight day three. Somebody in your office will ask you, waiting, what are they saying? What are they even doing? Maybe there is a priority Jesus is
Jesus places on the things of the kingdom that we are yet to understand. Are you with me?
Praise the Lord. Or we are just doing something else. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. That means love can be hot, love can be cold.
So from time to time, you must be able to check,
where is my love? Where is my passion? Because if my love is growing, my passion will be growing.
If my love is growing, my fire will be growing. And if your fire is growing, it will begin to do things. If fire begins to increase here, things will begin to burn. Before you know, things will begin to change. We will start smelling things. So, if truly fire is in your life, after a while, you will start making moves. People around you will start feeling it.
Something is happening to that guy.
People in your estate will start feeling it. People around you will start feeling it. Your church will start feeling it. That means maybe there are too many lukewarm Christians and we don't just, and to us it's normal.
Are you getting me?
Maybe we have normalized lukewarmness and we just don't know. You stay in an estate 1 year. 1 year, you cannot point to two people that heard the gospel. You are not on fire now. No fire. You are freeze. Somebody said, Jesus said in the last days, the love of many will wax cold, but people are dining with that they freeze. You are calling freeze your daddy. When people's love are waxing cold, you want to freeze?
If you know, you know.
Look at Song of Solomon chapter 8 from verse 6 to 7. That's where we end for tonight. See, somebody said, but I'm shy. I don't know how to. Let me tell you, even if you are shy and you don't know how to talk, if you had a prayer life and you have a worship life, somebody with. If you are praying that your compound, somebody will catch fire from somewhere. I used to stay before in an estate in Kabusa. We prayed in my house, and one day my neighbor walked up to me. A big man, oh. He said, sir, excuse me, sir. He said, my name is so-so and so. I am 65 years old. But anytime I hear you people pray, something used to stir within me. Can I join you pray? You can't be on fire and something is not catching it around you. No. He said, can I join you? Please, can you allow me? Painfully, we moved out before he joined us. Can I join you in the prayer meeting? Are you with me? Very important. Songs of Solomon chapter 8 from verse 6 to 7. Set me as a seal upon thy heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death, jealousy as cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Verse 7. Many waters, everybody read this one. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contempt. I know the context is different from what I want to talk about, but you can see how he's putting fire and love in the same bracket. Are you with me? Many waters cannot quench it, meaning. If this thing is rising, if the love is rising, it's becoming like fire. After a while, are you with me? Let me tell you, love is the fuel for fire. Love, see, the reason why we are doing all we are doing, it is love ignited. Love on fire is why we are doing what we are doing. That's why we keep coming, holding services Sunday. See, by September 2026, This entire ministry, Newbury Christian Community, will be 7 years old. And I still feel like I'm just starting. We have a church in Port Harcourt, Lagos, Lekki. There's Abuja. Abuja will about to have two more branches now. But guess what? I'm still starting. This thing, I know what I've seen in my spirit. I love Jesus too much. I was telling them, I feel like we have not touched Wuse. Say after me in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, awaken my love for you. Let me keep on burning for you. Set me on fire. Help me to keep my fire of love burning. Jump on your feet.